Let's talk about how arguments start. It often begins when a parent asks their child to do a simple task, like coming to eat dinner. But the child who is watching their favorite TV show doesn't want to leave the television. The parent keeps asking, but the child ignores them until they finally react strongly. They might yell things like, "Stop! You're bothering me," or "You're annoying me." Yelling is common in many homes. It's a way for the child to show their strength against the parent. But how should a parent react? What should they say or do? Often, parents start yelling too and criticize the child by saying, "Enough, I'm tired of your yelling. You always break your promises." This only makes the child more upset and leads to more yelling. This is how a never-ending argument starts. Both the parent and the child become tired and frustrated, and the fight can get worse. It can get even more intense if the parent starts punishing the child, like taking away their iPad for a week or not letting them watch TV for 4 days. The parent might think this will hurt the child and make them behave. But does this really help? Will the child stop their bad behavior after being punished? Will they calm down and cooperate? Will they come to eat dinner? No, they won't. This kind of punishment only makes our children feel bad. This is hard to hear, but it's important to understand. We want to build a relationship with our children based on trust. To do this, we need to make our children feel that we trust them. When we do this, they will trust us too. This is the kind of relationship we want with our children. But if this relationship is filled with fights and bad feelings, it's no surprise when the child reacts with more bad behavior. Punishment won't make our child change their mind. They won't come to eat dinner. They might not eat at all that night. This kind of fight will keep going and never really end. And remember, this is just about dinner. There are probably other things they need to do, like taking a shower or finishing their homework. But with the bad feelings at home, they won't want to do these simple tasks. This is just one example. It could be about whether they should do their homework or not. When a child doesn't feel like doing homework or taking a shower, they will resist. When a child asks for an extra sweet treat and is denied, this can lead to an outburst, which often results in parents getting upset. This scenario creates an endless cycle of power struggle where everyone feels frustrated, exhausted, and no one seems to be winning. However, remember this. We, as adults, hold the power to break this cycle. It's our responsibility. How we choose to respond and what we choose to say are crucial. Simply repeating instructions, enforcing punishments, or taking away privileges won't bring a lasting solution. It's also vital to understand that a parent reacting with anger or shouting during a disagreement makes it hard for the child to truly listen and comprehend what's being said. In such high-stress situations, children aren't emotionally available to absorb values or understand logical arguments. Imagine being in the middle of a heated argument with someone. Are you open to their logic, or are you more focused on defending your point of view? Likely the latter. This isn't the time or place for imparting lessons or values. Yet some parents might still persist, repeating phrases like, "Enough, I'm tired of this. How many times must I explain that this is inappropriate behavior, and I won't allow you to use such language? It's rude." But this approach doesn't help the situation. It only further irritates the child and doesn't result in an apology or any change in their behavior. In fact, it often leads to further defiance, creating a recurring cycle of conflict. Thus, trying to educate or correct behavior through anger doesn't work. Expecting children to change their behavior under these conditions is unrealistic and ineffective. The challenging behavior will return, and the struggle will recur. Instead, we should respond with actions, demonstrating through our deeds and with fewer words. I'll be providing a step-by-step guide on this approach soon. Finally, it's crucial to recognize that the middle of a heated argument isn't the time to teach a child about misbehavior or rudeness. During such emotional turbulence, they're not in the right state to process this information. If we want to instill values, it should be done during calmer times, something I'll be discussing shortly. It is important for me to stress one additional thing in this section. Power struggles do not only affect the parent and the child who is in the middle of the struggle. Power struggles directly affect the entire atmosphere in the home. Everyone in the home is affected by these struggles. Even other children who are not involved in the power struggles suffer from it. The entire house is affected by it, and the atmosphere at home is unpleasant. Understanding this is crucial. If I'm in the midst of a power struggle with my son or daughter, it would be wrong to believe it doesn't influence the other children. This strife doesn't contribute to their happiness or create a congenial atmosphere. There are times when siblings may rise in defense of their kin, thus adding to the opposition. In short, these power struggles don't cultivate a healthy relationship among family members. Now, before we proceed with practical steps, I would like to address a point that I mentioned earlier. This is an opportunity for reflection. I would like you to take a moment to view the picture attached to this page. You can pause the audio and download the picture. As you look at the picture, I want you to imagine yourself in that scenario and try to interpret the message being conveyed. Are you seeing a mother striving to educate her child who is blatantly ignoring her? Or perhaps the picture illustrates a defiant child refusing to listen? Maybe it's showcasing a frustrated mother whose child is unable to comprehend her feelings, or a mother shouting at a child who is dismissing her reprimands. Reflecting on our earlier discussion, what message do you believe this image is conveying? Feel free to pause for a moment, think it over, and choose your interpretation. Keep in mind, there's no right or wrong interpretation here. However, from my perspective, the most apt description is the third one, a frustrated mother and a child unable to digest her emotions. This aligns with our earlier discussion. When we respond in the heat of the moment, our intended messages can be lost. Consequently, any message we aim to deliver won't be received or understood by the child. This exploration is meant to shed light on the dynamics that need to change within your household. It's crucial to understand that moments of anger or arguments are not suitable for imparting lessons. Therefore, try to minimize your words. As the saying goes, cease the endless chatter and respond more through action. By modifying our reactions, we can encourage a more positive behavior in our children. And now, as we proceed to the next lesson, we'll begin with practical exercises.